Well, fruit of the spirit is a fascinating subject to look into, and I was looking at biological fruit and the definition of fruit as organism, and it's really quite incredible the intricacy that is in the biological fruit. The fruit is a mature, ripened ovary. Along with the contents of the ovary, it carries ovule-bearing reproductive structure in the plant flower. The ovary serves to enclose and protect the ovules from the youngest stages of the flower development until the ovules become fertilized and turn into seeds. So again, the function of fruit is to protect the seed inside and aid its dispersal, for example, by wind or by other means. So that's how it's defined by New York Botanical Gardens definition given to us for our benefit to be informed how this organism functions. The fruit is also used for expressing the work and deeds of the spirit in believers' lives. This can be evidenced in the character and power that is reproduced in the lives of believers. So, this wonderful work of the spirit, it's carried in our lives in the same way, in parallel and in contrast, and is visible just as the work of darkness can be visible and visibly expressed in people's lives, people who do not follow the Lord. And there are many passages in the scriptures that describe the works of darkness and how they stand under the condemnation of the Lord. So the fruit becomes visible in us as we walk in the spirit, as we live in the spirit, and becomes also obvious in the lives of those who are brought into life with Christ and start walking in the spirit, and the contrast that can be seen in their lives after someone watched that person walking in darkness, and then they are brought into wonderful light. And then that power and character that the Spirit births in their life is manifested. So the singular form of fruit is used in scriptures to suggest the unity of character of the Lord reproduced in the lives of believers, as we saw from the scriptures that Katie was reading. Sorry, the scriptures were a bit fragmented, but it actually is for a purpose of demonstrating that unity, and it's very, very strong there. So just as there are different type of fruit, and there are about five different, about four different type of fruit, the fruit of the spirit can be indicative of different, we get different fruit of the spirit, just like there are different type of fruit. So we can get meekness, for example. That's meekness is the demonstrate like the inner side of our character, and how the fruit of the spirit is internalized in us and is cultivated on the inside of us. In the same way, kindness, it's a different kind of fruit. It goes out of our heart and reaches out in an active and proactive way externalizing the life of the Holy Spirit that is taking place in us. And we really need to rejoice in what the Lord is giving to us and grasp that life of the Holy Spirit, hold on to it, ask the Lord to pour out His grace so we can walk and live with Him and be overfilled with the effects of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In Galatians 5:22-23, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." I just love this bit, "Against such there is no law." It just goes to show how much the grace there is and how it feeds back all these terms, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, love, joy, how it all feeds back into grace and how against such there is no law. The word gentleness in verse 22 here in King James Version comes from the Greek word kreistotes. In many other translations or English translations of the Bible, it's translated as kindness, including actually NKJV. And this word is also seen in 2 Corinthians 6:6, Ephesians 2:7, Colossians 3:12, and in Titus 3:4. In Titus 3:4, there's a bit of an interesting also parallel and connection between God's kindness and His love to mankind. As we read that, read the words, "But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared," with kindness and love of God. Kindness and love of God are connected there. It's the kind of like, the kindness, Christotis kindness, and the God's love for men, for mankind, which is philanthropia, His philanthropical, His generous attitude, are communicated to us that God is generous, and He is kind, He is gentle, and He is giving towards us abundantly and very, very generously. The other word used for kindness in the New Testament is philanthropia, which I mentioned already. And this word is in particular used in Acts 28, verse 2, where we read about the inhabitants of Melita, the Gentiles there, helping the shipwrecked voyagers. Now, that is another specific term for kindness, which is expressed in the love of mankind. So other members of mankind landed and are desperately in need, and these people came out and helped them. But the word gentleness, that's used like in place of kindness, isn't necessarily any kind of compromise on the part of the KJV Bible translators. The meaning of the word gentleness here points to fairness, moderation, gentleness, or as the poet Matthew Arnold called it, sweet reasonableness. Interestingly, that the word clemency is also defined by fairness, moderation, and gentleness. This sweet reasonableness allusion by Matthew Arnold is really, really beautiful and really poetic. And I was like really, really touched reading about it, how someone could so deeply think about God's kindness and come up with such beautiful, beautiful words. Sweet reasonableness. I just think about this and just pray that we'd all have this sweet reasonableness in any circumstance, that we would be so overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit that we would carry this sweet reasonableness to the world, to different in different situations that we face, and be salt and influence by displaying our Lord's sweet reasonableness and projecting it into various situations in our lives. As we look at the origins of the word kindness in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the word which is often translated as kindness is chesed. Chesed is a massive topic in itself in the Old Testament and is a significant part of the revelation of the character of God in the Old Testament, especially grace, the Lord's grace. A writer and researcher from the C.S. Lewis Institute, Will Keynes, talks about the word origin of chesed in his article, Considering the Chesed of the Lord. He expresses doubt in connection about its connection with the Arabic word hashada, which means come together for aid, and makes a connection to how chesed is translated into Greek, the Greek language of the Septuagint translation of the Bible, with the Greek word for mercy, righteousness, grace, glory, and hope. He explains that the words that parallel chesed in Hebrew text stretch in their meaning from faithfulness and goodness to strength and salvation. In English Bible, chesed, actually different Bibles, in different English Bibles, chesed is translated as kindness, love, steadfast love, loyalty, favor, devotion, and mercy. R.C. Sproul does particularly interesting talks on God's loving kindness and loyal love. The theme of loyalty in the talks comes through really, really strongly. It goes on from hiring executives who would be loyal to the leadership of companies, and spanning to our daily loyalty to each other, our loyalty in the families, and really touches on our loyalty in our Christian community, in our fellowship. Loyalty seems to be a big deal in connection to kindness and loving kindness in the overall concept and meaning of chesed in the Hebrew language, in the Old Testament Hebrew. There are two very interesting examples showing kindness that really stand out in the Old Testament, possibly because they really come one after the other in the record. And they really help illustrate kindness. Bob went through them in depth in the series of teaching on 2 Samuel. I really actually had fairly clear recollection of the comments there, and just thinking of it, I went back and looked at David's kindness to Mephibosheth. Sorry, a bit slow off the mark there on saying it. Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. It's a good example of chesed kindness. Mephibosheth was lame as a result of a childhood accident. He was keeping low profile. It's a bit like us. We may be finding ourselves in a similar position, fearful and weak in the presence of the king, whatever inadequacy may be plaguing our life. And yet, in the presence of Jesus and in the knowledge of Jesus, we are called to come and dine with the king. We see that in how Jesus called his disciples to come and dine with him in John 21, verse 12. Just like Mephibosheth was called to dine with the king in 2 Samuel chapter 9 that we read. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, David goes on to try and show kindness again. And it's again, chesed word is used in each case. This, I have to say, as I was reading it, the whole narrative just feels like the whole thing was just misguided in terms of David's attempt to show kindness to the king of Ammonites, Hanan, following the death of his father, and backfires and leads to repeated warfare until it was concluded with the purposes of God fulfilled. It's not a very pleasant story to read at all. Kindness, it can be both accepted and appreciated and rejected and loathed. We need to follow God's lead, the lead of the Spirit, with regard to showing kindness, even where the likelihood for it being accepted or repaid appears low or non-existent. While here on earth, Jesus regularly showed kindness, healing the leper in Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. From unclean and untouchable, the leper went on to life because of Jesus' kindness. Jesus was dining with a sinner. We read in Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Zacchaeus was wealthy, but a social leper. He was found by Jesus and came into life. Jesus was preaching to Gentiles in Samaria. The Samaritan woman was certainly shown the way into eternal life, as we read in John 4, verses 3 to 14. Jesus was showing compassion to people alone in their sickness when he healed, for example, when he healed the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, called her daughter, and having healed her, sent her on her way in peace. We read in Luke 8, 40 to 48. Jesus forgave those who hurt him. He asked his disciples to stand back and then healed the servant of the high priest who had his ear cut off in the course of Judas's approach to him in the act of betrayal. We read that in Luke 22, verses 47 to 52. In Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35, we read the story of the unforgiving servant. And how the master's mercy was expected in that passage to be passed on to the servant's debtor. Here we touch upon how we apply kindness in life. And here, mercy and kindness are connected by the fact that the Greek word most used for translating the Hebrew word chesed, we discussed earlier, is mercy. We are expected to pass on kindness of our master. Jesus showed kindness. God showed kindness to his people of Israel through Jesus, and then showed it to the Gentiles through Jesus as well. And we are expected to pass on the kindness of our master. We are guided not to worry about the anticipated result of our kindness, and well, actually the kindness we pass on. We are directed by our master to show kindness in the form of mercy, grace, loyalty, favor, devotion, and steadfast love. These are actually really stern challenges, I find, and looking at these things, many reflections came back about failings to show kindness in the opportune times in my own life. And for us, we just, as we look at kindness, we need to throw ourselves on the Lord and ask him to make us strong and make us very open to his inspiration to go and show kindness in any situations, like in work, in our neighborhood, in our fellowship, with wider families. And throw it like bread and water without any expectation, and live it out as just as Jesus lived it out. And as he was, he lived it out, he was looking forward to bigger gains, bigger wins. And we need to look to him and look to eternity. As we throw this bread and water, throw this kindness around ourselves, share it without any expectation. I just wanted to complete tonight by quoting Will Kynes's conclusion to the article on considering the chesed of the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord. He says, he writes, ultimately, the vertical and horizontal dimension of chesed cross in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus himself. As he, Jesus, demonstrates God's covenant chesed to his people, Jesus takes his place on David's eternal throne, thereby providing the means for individual sinners to be made into a community called the church, bound in his new covenant and committed to showing chesed, that's kindness, loving kindness, mercy, to one another. At the cross, God by no means clears the guilty, but by visiting the iniquity of the fathers on his only son, he displays his abounding chesed, his abounding loving kindness. I just want to also say that what a blessing it is to know that his mercy, his kindness is visited upon each and every one's life in our fellowship and in the wider church. My prayer is that everyone would be blessed and carry and share the Lord's kindness for his purposes and for his glory. And I wish everyone a good week and much joy in the Lord. Amen.